Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Monday. If you have opened this message from an archive source, we ask that you remember we're on a live teleconference call. That means that people be calling in from all over the place. We're going to give them a couple minutes to get here. And anytime, digital listeners, anytime you would like to join us on our calls, they're held Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. Spells free me on your telephone keypad. So if you would like to say hello before we get started, now's a good time to do that.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hello. Oh, and I say good evening.
Yes, and a good morning, good evening to you.
Hello, this is Helen, Vicki.
Hey, Helen, welcome.
Where is our friend that it's morning? In Asia?
Well, if that was Kathy, she's in the Philippines.
Okay.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Vicki. Or no.
Kathy from the Philippines.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, she is starting her day. We are finishing ours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she's into tomorrow already. She can tell us. You can tell us how. Yeah, she can. We'll know.
Hi, Vicki. It's Steve from Montana, and he's about 10 minutes away from. She'll be here, though.
Okay, great. Welcome.
That's Steve.
Yep.
Steve. Hey, Bill.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hello, Dylan. Hi there, good evening.
I made it.
Hi, Charles.
Oh. Hi, Vicki. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Mitch. Glad you made it, too.
Hey, brother, sis. I'm way out here. I'm starting my day, too, but I'm in Ocala. Starting my day. Oh, night. There you go. my wife's fixing to call in also. She's over there gluing some crafts together, doing some gluing right now, but she'll be online here in a minute also, back in Jacksonville.
Okay. Super.
Back out. I'll mute out. I'm heading to Sarasota.
Yep, this is your Sarasota run. Hallelujah. Any other friendly hellos before I mute your phones? I understand we're going to actually have some cold weather in the morning. So I'm trying to steel myself for that.
Ain't that bad. I'm riding a motorcycle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm riding a bike, man. That would be fantastic.
Well, I will leave that to you, Mitch.
Nice and crispy out there, Mitch.
It will be. If it is,
there you go, brother. Yeah, I think it's going to be like 35 or 34 in the morning when I take off. Yeah. That bike, it'll be a little bit cooler.
It's heated, isn't it?
All right. Anybody else want to say hello?
Oh, did I just hear Charles? Hi, Charles.
Who's that?
Kathy.
It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hallelujah. Fire.
Okay, anybody else? I'm going to mute your phones.
Good
evening. That means for anybody. Hi, who said a good evening?
Nancy.
Hi there. I thought it was you.
It's almost another day there.
Almost.
Is she in California?
She's in California. No.
No, it's 3 hours earlier.
Yeah, she's behind us. She's not ahead of us.
I am in the morning at 4:15 in the morning.
Yeah. So praise the Lord. Okay, mm-hmm. I am going to go ahead and mute your phone. For anybody that's new on the line, what that means is you'll still be able to hear us, but any noise in your background will not be picked up on the lines.
Hallelujah, and welcome. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way Ministries, as most of you know, and our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ, and anything that we can do in that area, we are glad to help. We feel these teachings on Mondays and Friday nights are instrumental in helping us grow, as well as you can go to freedomswayministries.com, our website, which has a treasure trove of previous teachings and many other things that will help you grow in Christ and be all and enjoy the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority. Hallelujah. And there are many. So we're glad you're with us tonight. We have a great message tonight. It's in the Jehovah series. You will enjoy it. You will be blessed. So I'm going to pray us in and get us started. And God bless you as you receive. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you that it is from the throne, a word in season. Thank you, Lord, that we receive that. We receive all that you're doing. We just thank you for all your benefits. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're with us tonight and that this word carries your power and that your people will be blessed, empowered, and strengthened in you in many ways tonight. We thank you for that. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would attempt to distort, blunt, or distract God's people from receiving all that this message has for them. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight and always. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, tonight is the Lord our Shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. And that is spelled R-A-apostrophe-A-H, or you can put it R-A-H-A-H. For the past several weeks, we've been studying some of the common redemptive names of God. And this message will be no different, although it will be the last one that we look at for this series on getting to know God better. I think Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our Shepherd, is one of the least understood of the many names he names himself. Part of that misunderstanding is simply that modern-day Christians are largely unfamiliar with the role of a shepherd, other than the all-encompassing phrase, keep the sheep. Freedom's Way presented a 7-week series years ago about this, titled The Good Shepherd, and it carried some remarkable information that both sheep, about both sheep and shepherding. And in this message, we're going to hit some of the high points and just give you a general overview and understanding of this aspect of God's nature. Jehovah Ra'ah is the God who leads, guides, and directs us. This guiding aspect of God's nature is one that brings clarity and dispels confusion. So many Christians seem to be without a course, like a sailboat docked at the marina. They don't venture out because they don't know what they should do, so they're stuck. The problem is, if they don't leave the dock, God can't give them a direction. The sailboat has to be moving in order to catch the wind. As we are bombarded with choices in life, we sometimes struggle to hear God's voice, His will for our lives. What is my purpose? Should I do this? Do I go down that path? Is this the job God has ordained for me? Is there a benefit in this? There are all kinds of voices clamoring to be heard and questions seeking answers. Some external, some only in our thoughts. Becoming acquainted with Jehovah Ra'ah helps us eliminate the deception that comes to us from the counterfeit kingdom and causes us to make bad choices. Psalm 23, verse 1a, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10:14, Jesus speaks and says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
Amen. Now, I was first introduced to us as Jehovah Ra'ah when Jacob prophesies blessings over his sons in the book of Genesis. He speaks blessing over all his sons. And when he came to Joseph, he said the following words in Genesis 49, verses 22-26, which says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well. Hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
Whose branches run over the wall. The archers have surely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of your father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, blessings of your father, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. In verse 24, we see Jehovah Ra'ah called the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We know Jesus to be the stone, the rock, the cornerstone, who was sent by the Father. It is he who came from the mighty God of Jacob. This revelation of Yahweh as a guiding caretaker, the good shepherd, was given to Joseph by his father as a blessing. The Lord would continue to lead and help Joseph. This name of God, Jehovah Ra'ah, and the prophecy of Jacob to Joseph is also seen in other places in Scripture. Psalms 80, verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You that lead Joseph like a flock, you that dwell between the cherubims, shine forth,
Amen. Moses recognized the Lord as shepherd of the people. This is recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 27. He asked the Lord for a man to lead the people so they would not be as sheep without a shepherd. It is the guidance of our Lord that shows us the right path and keeps us out of trouble when we follow him. Numbers 27, verse 16 and 17. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So, how do we learn to distinguish the voice of the shepherd from that of the counterfeiter, or even from our own voice? Jesus said, we hear. But many Christians doubt they're hearing correctly. Is it true that we are all subject to hearing from a false Holy Spirit? But Jesus said, we hear him. It is true, we're subject to hear a false Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus said, we hear him. John 10, verse 2 to 4. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
That seems pretty clear. So where's the confusion? The confusion could lie in our view of God and ourselves. We must first realize that God made us to know him. He created us in his image. We already hear his voice as he speaks to our spirits. This is called discernment.
Amen.
You already have discernment, and you can often tell when a person is sincere and when he's not. When something just doesn't feel right, when you have lost your peace, chances are the Holy Spirit within you is trying to tell you something.
Yeah, thanks.
When you follow a hunch, it's often the voice of God. In the book of Isaiah, we can see a clear link between the shepherd and the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit of God who directs us if we're listening. He presents himself as Jehovah Ra'ah to guide us. Isaiah 63:11-14. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led him by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as the horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goes down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name.
Hallelujah. I want to go back and review something because the Lord just gave me a little revelation that I'm going to share with you in John 10, 2 through 4. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus proclaimed himself the door. If you have entered by the door, you are also a shepherd and have a responsibility to lead those who look to you for guidance. And this could very well be how people get messed up by counterfeit Holy Spirits. Because the shepherd started out in the right direction, but then started listening to the wrong voice and led the sheep astray. Not the good shepherd, of course. Hallelujah. Think about it. All right, where are we? As a beast goes down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Jehovah Ra'ah also leads us by his word. The counsel of wisdom, the word of God, is his voice. The more familiar we are with the word of God, the less likely we are to imagine that a counterfeit voice is speaking from the throne of the Almighty. The more familiar we are with the Word of God, the less likely we are to accept and act on the word of a false prophet. When what we hear does not align with the Word of God and the Spirit of God within us, we can be sure it isn't Jehovah Ra'ah leading us. According to Scripture, wisdom comes from only one place. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Ecclesiastes 12:11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Where does God lead you? If the voice you hear, the word you are given, is not from God, it will fail, and so will you. God leads only into prosperity and peace. He will never lead you into trouble or sin. We knew a young man once who was often given instructions from what he thought was the Holy Spirit. As a good Christian boy, and then a young man, he wanted to please God. So very early one morning, this God told him to walk to a park in his little town, take off his clothes, and begin to dance and worship. His mom heard him leaving the house, but he didn't know which way he went. When she found him, her son was in the middle of the road at the park, taking off his clothes. That voice was so convincing that this young man was thoroughly upset that his mom wouldn't allow him to obey God. He didn't know Jehovah Ra'ah, and he was being led to shame and sorrow. Jehovah Ra'ah will lead you into blessing, and he adds no sorrow with it. When we come into the knowledge of God as a caring shepherd who guides us, feeds us, gives us rest, we will not be fooled by any other God posing as the Holy Spirit. We will not be led astray to wander in the wilderness. If that's where you are now, get to know God by his name, Jehovah Ra'ah. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Ezekiel 34:11-15. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, with both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. The very best picture of Jehovah Ra'ah is in Psalm 23. Many of you may have memorized this psalm as a child. Most of us can quote it today. But not a lot of Christians have the full understanding of the depth of which this psalm teaches us about this aspect of God's character. Again, that's probably because there are not a lot of people who are familiar with sheep and what a shepherd does. Most people think of keeping the sheep as a rather boring job of walking through the countryside, picking a pasture for grazing, and just sitting around all day. But there's so much more to it. Consider David. He faced and killed both a lion and a bear as he defended the flock of his father. If there were a lamb or sheep going astray, the shepherd goes after it and brings it back. If a sheep is cast down, which means it loses its footing and falls onto its back, it can't right itself and has to be rescued. Sheep have to be watched for. Flies and other insects in their faces must be oiled to prevent the buzzing pests from crawling into their noses or eyes and causing infection. And on and on and on, the responsibilities of a shepherd increase. Let's take a closer look at what this name, Jehovah Ra'ah, represents.
Psalm 23, verse 1. Well, actually, it's the whole thing. Let's just read it. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Being a sheep keeper is not what anyone would consider a glamorous job. David was assigned the task by his father, and David was obedient to do it. This psalm was written by King David, who certainly would have written it from a shepherd's perspective. He recognized that because we are the sheep of God, he was essentially doing what the Lord was doing with him. He knew that being a shepherd meant you had to be willing to lay down your life for the sheep. David did that when he went after the lion and the bear to save his sheep. The word tells us he took a lamb out of the mouth of the lion, and that he killed both the lion and the bear. Wow. While keeping the sheep, David had lots of time to commune with God. He learned to hear God's voice, and he became a worshiper. He learned music, and even created and constructed many of the instruments used in worship to the Lord. He also wrote most of the Psalms. Because of his time with the Lord, David grew into an understanding of his covenant as an Israelite with God. Jesus also spent a lot of time with his Father, going up on the mountain alone, going into the wilderness, and turning aside to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to make a comment. David and the lion and the bear. This refers back to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Many of the best grazing ground was in the valleys, and they were many places surrounded by cliffs and mountains on each side, where there were lots of places for predators to hide. So that lion and the bear came out of those places to get the sheep. You have to watch for that stuff.
As a shepherd boy, David obeyed his own father and learned to obey his heavenly Father as well. He became very skilled at playing music, writing songs, and worshiping God all by himself. His experience as a shepherd gave David the qualifications he needed to be called into the king's court. It gave him a reputation as a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, unafraid to fight, and a man of understanding. He was the one chosen to play for King Saul and to calm him down when the evil spirit overcame the king. Because of the strength and confidence he gained in God's presence on the mountains and in the fields, and the assurance of God's covenant that was planted deep within his heart, he was ready for Goliath. David, the shepherd king of Israel, began Psalm 23 with a simple declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is in possession of us and is the only one worthy of being in authority over us. This declaration acknowledges that each one of us is a cherished object of divine diligence. We're just going to examine the first lines of the psalm, and maybe sometime next year we can revisit the entire teaching about the Good Shepherd.
Maybe so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, of course, that means that God takes care of me, but it has a deeper implication than simply knowing I won't be deficient in proper care and management. It implies that I am utterly content and do not crave anything more than his divine hand on my life. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't mean I'll always have everything I want. It doesn't mean that I'll never suffer lack in some area of my life or at some time in my life. We have only to look at David's life to see the truth of this. He was a man who suffered deep personal poverty, acute hardship, and anguish of spirit. It's absurd to think that I shall not want means everything in a Christian's life will be lollipops and roses. Jesus himself told us, in the world we would have trouble and persecution. We need to keep a balanced view. It's a warped view to think that having material blessings is a significant mark of God's approval. That's warped thinking. because you believe you're doing everything right does not necessarily mean you will be showered with riches or that you will be free of persecution. To grasp the true and deeper significance of this requires imagining the difference in belonging to one master or another, to the good shepherd or to an imposter. The taskmaster of sin is an indifferent shepherd who doesn't care if his sheep have good pasture in which to graze, or clean water to drink, or shade, or shelter. He doesn't care if the sheep have relief from bruises, wounds, disease, or parasites. His sheep are considered fit only for the slaughterhouse, and he doesn't care if they're comfortable or healthy. He will not defend them or save them from predators.
John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That he's a, that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own sheep aren't, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. The manager of a person's life has a lot to do with that person's destiny. Those who are held in the iron grip and heartless ownership of the wrong master are poor in spirit, shriveled in soul, and unhappy in life, no matter what their outward riches or success.
Wow, you didn't say that again.
Well, hey, I will. Those who are held in the iron grip and heartless ownership of the wrong master are poor in spirit, shriveled in soul, and unhappy in life, no matter what their outward riches or success. On the other hand, those who are not, who are owned and managed by Christ are endued with a great sense of joy and peace no matter what their circumstances. They radiate confidence that overcomes the tragedies they may encounter. Contentment is the hallmark of the person who has truly put his life in God's hands.
Amen.
Amen. Contentment. Hallelujah. Studying sheep keeping can be a sobering lesson, especially when comparing yourself to what you learn about the sheep. The next line in Psalm 23 tells us, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. One thing you discover about sheep is that it is almost impossible for a sheep to lie down. They cannot relax and lie down unless four conditions are met. First of all, sheep are timid and will not lie down unless they are free of fear. Next, they will not lie down if there's friction among them, as they are very social. Third, if the sheep is tormented by insects or parasites, they won't rest. They can't relax if they are hungry. So for a sheep to rest, it must be free of fear, tensions, aggravations, and hunger. Only the diligence of a shepherd can keep his flock free from disturbing influences.
Wow. The only defense a sheep has against predators is to run. And even a rabbit coming out of a bush can startle a sheep. When one starts to run, the others do the same. They don't wait to see what the danger might be. A shepherd who leaves his flock to the night and its predators can find many dead in the morning, especially if they're heavy with young. Running can cause a pregnant ewe to lose their lamb and die in that process. This is why shepherds watch over the flock by night. Psalm 95:7a. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 121:4. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. To sheep, nothing is more reassuring than to have the shepherd in the field with them. And so it is with us. The presence of Christ dispels fear, panic, and terror of the unknown. We need awareness that our good shepherd is with us. In his presence, we know that our master, our owner, has things under control, even though it may look calamitous. Because of that truth, we can rest. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. Hallelujah.
Another condition detrimental to good rest is rivalry or cruel competitions among them, which cause tension. In every animal society, there's an established order of dominance. With chickens, we say the pecking order, and with sheep, it's the butting order. A dominant ewe will take her position as first and butt all the others away from the best grazing ground. In turn, others do the same. Because of this rivalry and self-assertion, there's friction in the flock, as they are on alert to defend their rights and challenge any intruder of their space. God has something to say about that.
Yeah, he does.
In Ezekiel 34:18-23. Does it seem to be a small thing unto you that you have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. And because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd.
Thank you, Lord. When the good shepherd is present, the sheep settle down. They seem to forget their foolish rivalries. Being aware of the presence of our Creator enables us to let go of selfish snobbery and competitive jockeying for position. When we know that it is humility that brings promotion, we can easily relax and walk quietly and contentedly in intimate companionship with Christ. Keeping our eyes on the shepherd keeps them off of those around us. The third thing that prevents peace and rest is that of aggravations and irritations. Sheep in the field can be driven to distraction by flies and ticks and other pests. It is impossible to lie down peaceably when in torment. So the shepherd is on constant watch for these pests. He dips the sheep to free them from fleas and ticks. He applies insect repellent. He oils their heads. He leads them to shelter belts of trees and shrubs. The shepherd watches daily for behavioral signs of these irritants. We have things that bug us, don't we?
Yeah.
The antidote for irritating situations and people is the balm of Gilead, the gracious Holy Spirit of God. We can give him the problem and allow the Lord to apply his healing presence. Often, he deals with the problem in a way we could never have imagined. I would say probably more than often, probably all the time. He can take care of it. And we couldn't even imagine that solution, but he comes up with it. It's amazing. Letting God handle the small stuff as well as the big stuff enables us to rest. Hallelujah.
The fourth cause of unrest, which is detrimental to sheep, is hunger and the fear of hunger. Many of the great sheep countries of the world are dry, semi-arid areas. Sheep thrive in that type of dry terrain because there are less parasites and fewer hazards to their health. Green pastures do not just happen in those places. It takes a great deal of effort, and a tremendous sacrifice of time, labor, and skill in land used to provide green pastures. Land has to be cleared of rocks and brush and roots and stumps and then plowed to prepare the soil. Then it has to be seeded and planted with special grains and legumes and irrigated with water. The growth must be carefully tended so that the shepherd has forage for his flock.
Wow.
When you consider the brown, barren hills of the Mideast, you can imagine the remarkable amount of work involved in providing green pastures. A sheep with lush forage can fill up quickly and lie down quietly. With an ill-fed, hungry sheep is... Boy, I'm in trouble all of a sudden. Let me start over. A sheep with lush forage can fill up quickly and lie down quietly, while an ill-fed, hungry sheep is always on its feet. These sheep are ever moving, searching for another mouthful to satisfy their gnawing hunger. A sheep without green pasture languishes, while the sheep with good forage gains in weight and vitality.
Wow. Hallelujah, Lord.
The promised land to which God led his people was a land flowing with milk and honey. In farm language, and milk and honey flow refer to the peak season of the spring and summer when pastures are most productive. The livestock that feed on forage and the bees that visit the blossoms produce a corresponding flow of milk and honey. The promised land then is one of luxuriant pastures. Jehovah Ra'ah wants his people, his sheep, to have lives of abundant joy, victory, and contentment. He works to clear our hearts of stony unbelief. He tears out roots of bitterness and breaks up the hard stubbornness of our pride and rebellion so that he can plant the precious seed of his word in us. God's word in us will produce a crop of contentment and peace when we allow Jehovah Ra'ah to manage our land, care for, and tend the gardens of our hearts. When we come to know Jehovah Ra'ah, we no longer need to feed on the barren ground of the world around us, which leaves us hungry and anxiously looking for the next mouthful. Let him lead you to lie down in green pasture.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to revisit, before we pray, I want to revisit that picture of preparing the land. The land is us. Jesus is our good shepherd, the Holy Spirit of the Lord Christ Jesus points out things in our land, in our hearts, so he can tear out those roots of bitterness, so he can break up the hardness and the stubbornness of pride and rebellion that is in us, and plant those precious seeds. Hallelujah, Lord. God's word in us produces a crop of contentment and peace. But only if we allow Jehovah Ra'ah to manage our land, our hearts, to care for us, to tend the garden in our heart. And we have to cooperate with that. We can't be fence crawlers, as some sheep are called, that are always trying to, you know, get to the greener grass or whatever. And they end up feeding on barren ground and staying hungry. Let him lead you to lie down in green pastures. Praise the Lord forever. I would like to invite you to pray for me if you are ready to really seal this word and really get an understanding. I'm sorry we just do not have time to go through that entire psalm, but it is so rich. So pray with me if you will. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God.
For introducing yourself as Jehovah Ra'ah.
For introducing yourself as Jehovah Ra'ah.
And for being my good shepherd.
And for being my good shepherd.
I am so grateful.
I'm so grateful.
To be under your care.
Be under your care.
So that I can be assured that you are managing my life.
That I can be assured that you are managing my life.
So many, many things you manage for my well-being.
So many, many things you manage for my well-being.
Doing things I don't even notice.
Doing things that I don't even notice.
To keep me safe and content.
Keep me safe and content.
I will never be deficient.
I will never be deficient.
In proper care and management.
In proper care and management.
Only you, Lord, meet my needs.
Only you, Lord, meet my needs.
In the way that is best.
In the way that is best.
Only you make me lie down in green pastures.
Only you make me lie down in green pastures.
Pastures of peace.
Pastures of peace.
Forgive me, Lord, for asserting my dominance.
Forgive me, Lord, for asserting my dominance.
For butting my way to the top.
For butting my way to the top.
For taking the biggest piece of pie.
For taking the biggest piece of pie.
Forgive me for being challenging and aggressive.
Forgive me for being challenging and aggressive.
And intimidating toward others. And
intimidating toward others.
In order to get my way.
In order to get my way.
Forgive me for jockeying for position.
Forgive me for jockeying for position.
And for thinking my position in the world.
And for thinking my position in the world.
Somehow validates me.
Somehow validates me.
Father, I don't want to be the cause.
Father, I don't want to be the cause.
Of friction in the flock.
Of friction in the flock.
Forgive me for fear, Father.
Forgive me for fear, Father.
And for not recognizing the presence of Jehovah Ra'ah.
And for not recognizing the presence of Jehovah Ra'ah.
The Lord my shepherd in my life.
The Lord my shepherd in my life.
To keep me from terror and panic.
Keep me from terror and panic.
Forgive me for fearing the unexpected.
Forgive me for fearing the unexpected.
And for anticipating the worst.
And for anticipating the worst.
And projecting fear because of the unknown.
Projecting fear because of the unknown.
Forgive me for running from rabbits.
Forgive me for running from rabbits.
Thank you for the sound mind.
Thank you for a sound mind.
That is the mind of peace and contentment.
That is the mind of peace and contentment.
Contentment in you and in you alone.
Contentment in you and you alone.
Help me know and crave.
Help me know and crave.
Nothing more than your divine hand on my life.
Nothing more than your divine hand on my life.
Forgive me for not allowing you to cleanse me.
Forgive me for not allowing you to cleanse me.
From irritants.
From irritants.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
By your Holy Spirit guidance.
By your Holy Spirit guidance.
Forgive me for leaving your green pastures.
Forgive me for leaving your green pastures.
To forage in dry places.
To forage in dry places.
Places that leave me hungry.
Places that leave me hungry.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
And I thank you for being Jehovah Ra'ah.
I thank you for being Jehovah Ra'ah.
The Lord my shepherd.
The Lord my shepherd.
I receive your care.
Receive your care.
Your custody and your control.
Your custody and your control.
Over my life.
Over my life.
So that I shall not want.
So that I shall not want.
And I will lie down in green pastures.
And I will lie down in green pastures.
Under your watchful eye.
Under your watchful eye.
And your diligent hand of love.
And your diligent hand of love.
In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God.
In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that as we have asked for your forgiveness for dominating people and intimidating, being challenging, jockeying for position, thinking we're somehow validated by the world, As we've asked you, Lord, for forgiveness, for yielding to fear, projecting fear, you have forgiven us. We receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive the peace and contentment of knowing your guiding hand in our lives. Thank you. Thank you so much for being our shepherd. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you have a comment or a question tonight, you can unmute your phone. Or your tablet or computer, whatever. *6 if you're on your phone. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. That was glorious. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry we're so stubborn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nancy.
Amen. Thank you. It was wonderful tonight, as always. Makes you think, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when you really start studying these things out and you find out what being a sheep is,
uh-huh.
It gives you a whole new perspective.
Yes, it does.
On shepherding and how valuable that is. And that word in John 10, that we are shepherds also. Maybe only to our children, who knows? Maybe to our friends or family members or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we are called to this. We have a good shepherd, but we are also shepherds.
You know that's my maiden name, don't you? Shepherd. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
It is.
I was going to make shepherd's pie.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny. I like how the message was beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Marie. God bless God.
Yes.
I agree with Claudia and Marie. Just listening here with my father and this message is really an eye-opener for us, and also it makes me really want to lie down in green pasture knowing that you have a very, very loving shepherd. Thank
Amen.
You for sharing, and God, thank you, Father. Thank you.
God bless you, Kathy, and thank you, Noel, for joining us tonight.
A blessed day to everyone.
Hello? Oh, that's my dad.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Bless. Yes.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hi there. Hello, hello.
Oh, I like the part of where we were talking about how he learned how to hear God and praise and worship. I mean, he's out there with nothing but sheep. And
yeah.
The creation surrounding him, and he learned how to be the best shepherd with his communion with God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I used to think about it. You know, when I used to be a little girl, I used to lay in our front yard by the lilac bush and just stare at the stars, and I could feel the dew. Different times I just lay on the ground in the grass, feel the dew and look at the sky and just talk to God about how glorious he is.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus got away also. He went to commune and to have that fellowship with the Lord. Praise God. Thank you,
yes,
Faith.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God, for loving us and guiding us and leading us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Zucker.
You're welcome, Ed. Bless you.
Amen. Give you all the glory. All the glory.
Amen. Alrighty then. Any other comments before Pastor Phil blesses us tonight?
Lord, we are a thankful people and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it penetrates our heart. Thank you that we grow from your word. Be mighty warriors in your kingdom. Hallelujah. We bless and honor you tonight, Father God. We worship your holy name. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. And as Aaron, the high priest, in the book of Numbers, bless the children of Israel, the people of God, known as the Aaronic benediction. We do it in Hebrew and in English as a way of closing our meetings. I am going to bless you with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and then in English. Hallelujah. God bless you as you receive. Yivarechach Adonai, v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai pana b'lecha, yifunecha. Yisa Adonai pana b'lecha, v'yisem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We receive it. Ask you, encamp your angels around your believing, loving children, and that you are with them this week, that you are speaking to their hearts and empowering them to do exploits in your name. As you speak to their hearts, tell them where to go and who to speak to. Hallelujah. To bring them to a saving knowledge of you. We are so grateful, Lord, that you are in our lives. We thank you again for your word. We give you honor and glory in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. This Thanks, message Phil will be... Yes, go ahead.
Thanks, Phil and Vicki. This is Stan. I've been listening to the whole thing. I just didn't unmute my phone at the end, and I finally figured out what it was. I did hear the lady talk about a lilac bush. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, on the corner of her lot, a house that I had bought from my dad after she died, there was a big lilac bush, and it was the most fragrant bush. And I just loved the smell that would give off. And I think, you know, it's like the word. It gives off just a fragrant smell that just can permeate everything. And that's what I felt tonight, you know, just that sweet fragrance of the word. Lilac. I like that.
Praise the Lord.
Good
Thank
message.
You, Phil. Thank yep. you. And we will repeat this message as the Holy Spirit brings it. He brought up a couple of things tonight that weren't in my notes. On Friday night. Next week, next Monday, is Christmas Day. We will be here in the morning for the King's Table and also Christmas night. We always have a Christmas night message, so we will be here 8:30 Eastern Christmas night. That message will be repeated for the first time in a long, long time on Friday. We're going to do it twice in a week. Hallelujah. Called The Greatest Gift, and you will enjoy it. The week after will be our New Year's message, and you're going to get a new perspective or some resolutions for your new year. So we're set and ready. Hope you are too. God bless you all. Have a great night tonight. We'll see those of you who join us in the morning at the King's Table. We love you all. Bye now.
Night, John Boy.
God bless you. We love you.
Bye. Good night. Love you all. Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
Good
night, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good morning to the Philippines. And good night
morning.
To you all.
Good night.